traveling on in the book of Mark. We're still in the early pages in the early ministry of Jesus and the disciples. He's chosen those disciples who will minister with him, and they've been doing some ministry together, but they still are somewhat early in their ministry together. He's done some healings, he's done some teaching, but he now has met with the Sadducees and the Pharisees on at least one occasion. And so he knows that his enemies are out there. So now he begins to teach in parables, because he wants the disciples and the followers to understand, but he wants to confuse and confound his enemies. And so we come to the first of the parables in the Gospel of Mark that he wants his followers to understand. And the parables are always about common, ordinary, everyday things for the people of the time, and should be for us also about common, ordinary, everyday things. We should be able to understand them, but sometimes I think we make them harder than they are. Sometimes I think we like to say the Bible is harder to understand. It's so hard to understand, I just won't read it. It's not that hard to understand. If you need to, Kara did this in her work the last week, and if you need to, use several editions to read. She used the Message, and she said, you know, she doesn't necessarily like it. I like the Message as one point to go to. I don't want to always read that, the Message. Don't look at that as your gospel text. My own favorite is the New Revised Standard Version, which is what we read in church on Sunday morning. But the Message has, you know, down-to-earth 20th century language, not 21st, but 20th century language. So if you're having trouble reading a text and you don't really understand it, go to the Living Bible, go to the Message, go to the Common English Bible and read it. Then go back to one of the more reliable actual texts and read it. But don't avoid reading scripture because you think it's hard. That's sort of like avoiding God because you don't want him to know what you've been doing. I hate to tell you, but God already knows what you're doing. So there's no point in avoiding. Might as well just stand right up there and say, "Hi, God, I'm here." So in standing here and saying, "Hi, God, we're here," we have this scripture passage from Mark, where Jesus says, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep at night and rise night and day, night and day, night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow, and that person doesn't know how. The earth produces of itself, first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head." There used to be a Vacation Bible School song about that. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle because harvest has come. Now, how does that farmer know that harvest has come? How does he know? How does he know it's time to go in and harvest the beans? How does he know harvest has come? It's time to harvest the wheat. How does he know harvest has come? It's time to take in the corn. Why doesn't he take the plant in when it's this big? Why does he wait until it's this big? How does he know that it's time to take in the tomato when it turns red? Does God work with us to help us understand what a good harvest looks like? Yes. Is it partly trial and error? Yes. When you first grow a tomato, when you first put a tomato plant into the ground, and the tomato plant gets big, and tomatoes start forming on the tomato plant, and there's a little tiny green one on the tomato plant, and you don't know any better, you might take that little tiny green tomato into the house and you might cut it up and you might try and eat it. Yuck! Now, I'm not talking about if you have a big, juicy, mature green tomato and you want to fry the big, juicy green tomato. I'm not talking about those. I'm talking about the little, immature, yucky ones that are still bitter, yucky, and not ready. But even better, let that tomato turn nice and red and get even juicier, sweeter. Anybody ready for a tomato now? Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. God gives us these amazing things for us to use and to use wisely. God gives us seeds. And yes, part of it's play. It's not all work, it's fun. We get to put them into the ground and water them and go to bed and get up and go to bed and get up and go out and look, and here is a little plant that's come up, and we didn't do a thing except trust God. What if we did that with our faith? What if we did that with other people in their faith? What if we went out into the world and planted some seeds of faith into other people? This is what we do when we have Vacation Bible School. This is what we did last week. We planted some seeds. We went to bed. We got up. We went to bed. We got up. And look, a little plant was forming by Friday night. We could see already. Changes were happening. People's lives were being impacted. But if you look at those people in 6 months or a year, you'll see even more. Same thing with Vacation Bible School. We'll plant little seeds. And they won't necessarily be big deals. It might be that somebody will fall and skin their knee and we will give them a hug. And unbeknownst to us, they won't have gotten a hug at home for months, or maybe ever. That little seed will make a difference in their life, and they will realize that at church there is love. We might teach them about Jesus, and for the first time in their lives, they might hear about Jesus and learn that Jesus is wonderful. And they can pray to Jesus on the nights when it's scary at home, or on the days when they don't have lunch. It's little seeds. They don't have to be gigantic bushes. That comes with time. The second part of the scripture, Jesus says, with what can we compare the kingdom of God? That's the kingdom of God here, now, right now. The kingdom of God is not just something that's later on when you die. It's right here, right now, with what we do as Christians. With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable will we use for it? Famous, famous, famous. It's like a mustard seed, which is the tiniest seed of all. which when sown upon the ground is the smallest of all seeds on earth, yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes one of the biggest shrubs in all of the earth. And it puts forth large, thick branches so that the birds of the air and the small creatures can make nests and find shelter there. Anybody ever see a mustard seed bush? They are not pretty. They really are not pretty. They also don't smell that great. But they're strong, strong bushes. And you can't kill them. I mean, well, okay, yeah, you can. But it's hard to kill them. You can whack at them and whack at them and whack at them. And you might be able to kill off a branch. But you don't kill the whole bush. And another branch will grow. And you can put, the killer stuff, weed killer stuff on them. You might be able to kill off one side, but you won't kill off the other side. And it'll just branch out the other way. What if that was our faith? What if that was us as Christians? Yeah, you can whack at us, and you can whack at us. Maybe you can injure us, but we'll just grow out another way. And you can spray us with all kinds of stuff, but we'll just grow out the other side. We'll just get stronger on the other side. What if we were a haven, a place for small, innocent creatures who had no safe place? What if we were that place where people could come when they didn't have a safe place to be? What if we were that place that they could come when they didn't know that there was a safe place in the world? What if we were that place that they could know that there was unconditional love in the world? What if we were that safe place, that strong place that wouldn't let them down? Jesus uses deliberate examples so that the followers and the disciples will understand this is what you're going to be. This is who you are. This is who you're going to be for me. I'm going to give you the power, and I'm going to give you the wisdom, and I'm going to give you everything you need to plant the tiny, tiny little seeds that are growing, going to grow in. You think about the girls that were here this last week. You think about them 8 or 10 years ago when they were just coming here as youth, they're little girls, and we had no idea what they were going to do with their lives. You think about what the power they brought into this building. The power of Jesus Christ that they witnessed to us. Jesus talked about this powerful, strong bush. This church can be that powerful, strong bush. A witness to the world. A place where people can come. And they can receive healing. And they can receive safety. And they can receive unconditional love. And nothing's going to knock it over. Nothing's going to knock it down. Nothing's going to tear it down. Nothing's going to attack. The rest of the scripture says, with many such parables he spoke to them as they were able to hear it. He didn't speak to them except in parables, but later on then he explains everything to his disciples. He didn't speak in general except in parables because he didn't want the enemy to be able to understand. Only you get to know Jesus' truth. Only you get to live Jesus' truth. Let us pray. Almighty God, we're going to spread some seeds. We're going to be strong bushes. Ain't nothing going to knock us down. Almighty God, you are the great one. You are the one who puts the seeds inside of us, and you are the one that makes us strong so that we can go out and be your witnesses. I don't know what kind of seeds you're going to plant in me, and I don't know what kind of seeds you're going to plant in everybody in this room. We're all going to have different kinds of seeds that we're going to take out in the world, but they're all going to be beautiful and yummy and delicious and wonderful for you. In your name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of invitation is How Great Thou Art. We will sing the first, the third, the fourth verse. When we will sing with faith, hope, love, and those who are able will stand to sing.